Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And it is good to be here with Daniel Lim.
All right. So when this podcast goes live, it's about 2 months or a little bit under 2 months until the next election in the States. And as such,
in the States. You don't have to say in the States. Everyone knows when you say the next election, everyone knows because it's America we're talking about.
Well, here. And plus,
it's not a provincial election. It's not something like it's America.
Yeah. All right, and plus, all of Canada is also obsessed with what's going to happen in the States.
So. Yeah, that's true. It is true. Yeah.
So anyway, and a quick note, even though Canadians just had their national conservative party race, I mean, the American Republican National Convention and Democratic National Convention, like by far were the headlines. And it was kind of like sub point. Hey, here's our new national party leader for the conservatives.
Nice.
So anyways, all that to say, every pastor listening in, every church planter, every campus pastor, every pastor listening in, they have this dilemma. They're like, how much do I talk about politics? How much do I not? Obviously, this is dividing the church. And yeah, there are Christians that are both Republican, Christians that are Democrat. So there's a lot that's going on, I know, in the minds of church planters and pastors, especially, you know, and plus we have that global pandemic that's going on.
I've heard about that. Yeah. So, I've also heard there's no pandemic. It was all
a myth. Yeah, that's right. So that it's in the past tense, right?
Exactly.
All right. So having said all that, Ed, what's your advice on how we as pastors can lead in the midst of all the political polarity that's going on?
Well, I mean, isn't this like the challenge of our day? This is one of the most difficult times we've ever led. And it would have been much easier if we wouldn't be dealing with kind of partisan views on things. Mm. Let me explain. Not only are we divided politically, but our political division even comes right down to the front door of your church of whether or not you should meet. Mm. So, because what you find is that there's, you know, this is Ed Stetzer making up stats, so, you know, forgive me. But, you know, 25% of your church thinks you're a compromised coward if you don't just get over the fact there's no pandemic, this isn't real. And they just think that you're bowing and kowtowing to the government, to repression and more. Yeah. 25% of your church is just stunned and that you are even considering meeting or you are meeting because they have, you know, people have, their kids have asthma or they themselves have some comorbidity factor and more. And so all these things are happening. So that, and but I think we don't want to miss this, right? Is that is largely driven by political reality. Mm. So these political realities have really been driving the church more than the mission of Jesus in this season. Far too many people are being discipled by their cable news choices and spiritually shaped by their social media feed. And so the end result is that you are now having to lead, not just in the midst of a coronavirus pandemic, but also, let's let me give a couple examples, but also in the midst of a greater awareness on racial injustice, where if you say Black Lives Matter, you're seen as being connected with an organization that I don't really know a whole lot of people that are connected with at all. And you get condemned by one group in your church. So but true. If you can't speak up for the lives of Black people, you've got people in your church saying, why can't you even say such a basic, simple thing? You're not supporting some organization or some webpage. You're simply saying, and I got to tell you, so many people of color are just kind of confused as to why the fact that some organization out there has said, this is what we believe, this contrary to what they believe, that they can't therefore affirm that they have to respond with all lives matter. You know, it's interesting. We had a natural disaster here in the States, hurricane, and Louisiana hit particularly hard. And, you know, yet you don't hear people saying, well, don't worry about Louisiana. Don't pray for Louisiana. Don't work for Louisiana. All states matter. But that's kind of the reality. And so what happens is everything's been politicized and therefore politics have been weaponized. So now hey, I'm just going to be quiet, just keep teaching and preaching the gospel, hide down in the basement and hope for this to pass. For some people, silence is complicity. Yeah. So, well, wait a second. How come you haven't spoke up on racial injustice? I mean, say his name was one of the signs that was marched with George Floyd.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got this specific sense that you need to say something, but if you say the wrong thing, you're therefore supporting this party that believes these terrible things. I mean, I've never seen a more divided time in the culture that has now seeped into and become a driving divisive force inside the church.
So Ed, you wrote a book, Christians in the Age of Outrage, which if y'all haven't read, I mean, this is the time to read it, if there's any time to read it. But Ed, there's a ton that you write in that book, but I just wanted to bring that up for our listeners, if they wanted to dig a little bit deeper. But I guess the question that's really just pressed on my mind in light of what you said, is it really the politicization of all things that is causing this division and this polarity? Or is it just that we are more divided in general? Do you think politics is the driving force for it all?
I think that here's how I would put it. I think that the ideology that has been shaped by a echo chamber and loop of feedback that has created, I think social media has created a lot of this, and cable news has created a lot of this, is that it has intensified, it has in some cases radicalized people, and they'll get 10, 20 hours a week of social media crazy town, and they'll get an hour or two a week of the gospel and biblical teaching. And so what happens is they are far more likely to bring their ideological presuppositions that are reinforced and shaped and radicalized on social media and cable news than they are. They're far more likely to bring that to their faith than their faith to the political reality. So I think, you know, we're supposed to be salt and light in the culture. I think we've been salted and lit by the culture. Wow. And the end result is that we look far less like Christians who are showing and sharing the love of Jesus, and far more like partisan hacks that at the end of the day have lost their ability to have a witness because they're so driven by the ideology. And in some cases, I mean, we don't get started about conspiracy theories. You don't want to get me started on conspiracy theories. But I'm deeply grieved. I'm deeply concerned. I'm not even saying that, you know, I get that, you know, and I know you're Canadian and, you know, some of this stuff just seems like, how in the world could people think this way or act this way? But I'm not even talking about people who vote a different way. Like maybe someone votes for this candidate or not for this candidate. But I'm talking about the full-throated, this is the defining reality of my life, overrides the teachings of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, the lived out experiences of the gospel implications. And it becomes, and I got to tell you, it's getting worse. I can't wait for this election to be over. But here's the deal. It doesn't end with the election over. Already, the ideological partisanship being shaped by something other than the gospel is becoming one of the great moments leading people astray from the truth of the gospel. Mm. And this will have implications for generations.
Yeah, that's true. About a year or so, or a couple of years ago, I wrote an article on echo chambers and discipleship in our church, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But for those of you who are like, what's an echo chamber? Really, it's that sense of you're in a chamber where what you're saying and what other people are saying around you is just, it's all echoing back to you. So social media, online, all that stuff, the algorithms on Facebook and with ads on Google and all that stuff are basically surrounding you. It's these echo chamber. It's an echo chamber that's surrounding you more, and where you see more and more of those who have the same viewpoints as you, and less of those who are divided. So there's an example. I remember watching a TED talk where this black man basically wanted to figure out how severe the white supremacist echo chamber was. So he actually created a new account on Facebook and he found a picture of whatever a white supremacist looks like, made up a name that he thought a white supremacist would have, started liking a white supremacy organizations, and as a black man posing as a white supremacist, eventually saw like his entire feed was like radically different than his regular feed on his normal account. And the fascinating thing about this TED Talk was the fact that he was like, man, for individuals, and whether it's white supremacy or not, so for individuals who have one political view over another political view, it's almost like before social media and before these organizations really harpened on the idea of this and really feeding you what you want is kind of their rationale. Before all that happened, it was like, how often do you find people that exactly had the same worldview as you, or the same political view, or the same opinion on a subset of something as you? It wasn't that often in regular everyday life. But now with these echo chambers, it's all of a sudden you are emboldened because it's like, oh no, I'm not the only one. Yeah, we all think this. Yeah. And it's that whole herd mentality or that mom mentality that takes over. And that's that powerful side of the echo chamber. So the interesting thing, Ed, that I love the fact that we're talking about this, because I'm reminded of what you said earlier on, right? There's this sense of this is a discipleship issue. And it's like, if you speak up, some people say that if you don't speak up, there's another thing. And it's like, why can't we just preach the gospel? But the fact is, everyone in our church is being discipled by some echo chamber. So in light of that, Ed, how do we, right? I mean, because it's not about ignoring what's going on, because that's irrelevance. But how do we kind of meet, how do we bring the gospel to bear on what's happening here? Because by bringing it on one side or the other, we're going to upset the other side.
Yeah. And so here's part of what I think we have to do. We have to choose to not be co-opted, but rather to engage on mission. Mm-hmm. So I think these are two contrasts, okay, right? You get co-opted when you'll believe anything that's terrible about somebody else and nothing that's bad about someone you support. You believe that you have to win, you have to own, you have to dunk, whatever it is. And so what happens is your victory is ultimately a victory that comes through defeating somebody else. Not even necessarily being right, though you're generally right, but it's defeating somebody else. So I think for us, the reality is that we've got to, I think, be more intentional. I've got an article in USA Today we can link to in the show notes, like on QAnon. I think it's time for Christian pastors to speak up on QAnon and to call out the reality that it's really becoming an alternative religion, a replacement. And not only that, just being that it's just a conspiracy theory filled with stuff that's just bizarrely untrue. And so we got to help people. I mean, Jesus literally said he's the truth. So here's the reality. I want to say to pastors, church planners listening, you may actually alienate some people, but I think that there are times to do that. You know, during the civil rights movement, some pastors said, well, I don't want to say anything to offend my congregations, and they didn't. And the end result is they regretted it later on. If you don't say something now, you may lose some people, but if you don't say something that uncritical partisanship is ultimately not the Christian's call, right? And when you're an uncritical partisan, no matter what it is, my party right or wrong, or for that matter, my country right or wrong, well, you can't see ultimately what God is doing that is bigger and beyond that. You're actually in need of discipleship. Sometimes people may even be church discipline in some cases. So I would just say I'm calling for, among Christians, a more active stance. I believe that this echo chamber partisanship combined with this bizarre conspiracy theory is actually creating a threat to orthodoxy and mission in the church. So you shouldn't have started me on this, Daniel. I had some Red Bull this morning, but I believe this is a threat to orthodoxy and mission in the church. And I think ultimately the Church of Jesus Christ needs to. Yeah, I love what Pastor Choco said once, and I've used it since then. I reckon I've been told he wasn't the first one to use it. So, but I love Pastor Choco. You were at the meeting. He said we don't, as Christians, we're not uncritical team members on some political team. We're the umpire, and we're the ones who are calling balls and strikes. And so as a Christian, there's a time for me to say, this is wrong. So we are not uncritical members on some partisan team, right? We're followers of the King of Kings, whose message and mission is so much broader than that of one political party. Now, I recognize that because of U.S. politics, right? We recognize that many evangelicals vote Republican because of issues of life. They're deeply important to me, religious liberty and more. But at the same time, if you can't speak up when President Trump, to use U.S. politics as an example, when President Trump says horribly untrue and dehumanizing things about immigrants, then I think ultimately you're being co-opted. And I think that makes a difference. But at the same time, if you're afraid that, you know, speak up on issues of life because, you know, that might offend someone who's more progressive in your congregation, you're being co-opted. Mm. So Pastor Choco is not the first person who said this, but the first person I heard it from is the idea that we're not, again, members of like a team that our job is to defeat the other team. We're the umpires and we need to call balls and strikes. And that really frustrates people. People get mad at me online. You've seen it, Daniel, yeah. where I might actually say, you know, during the DNC, I might say, you know, this is, you know, we need to remember that we're talking about the lives of unborn babies here. When it's kind of euphemistically referred to as reproductive justice is the language that was used, even though the DNC downplayed it this year. I'm deeply concerned about unborn life. And I would say, too, during the, you know, when during the RNC, when they had this, you know, immigrant ceremony, you know, legal immigration is down half in the United States. So President Trump has been the least favorable president towards immigration in our lifetime. Mm. And not only that, but says some pretty egregious, untrue and dehumanizing things at times about immigrants or other countries. And as Christians, we need to speak up on that. Even if the majority of evangelicals support President Trump, they need to find some daylight between him and them on some issues where he has really stepped out in ways that are just shocking for modern political discourse. But more importantly, just don't fit what followers of Jesus should support. And I think, ultimately, does that make us partyless? Well, we don't fit perfectly in any party. But it does make us prophetic. And I think that makes all the difference.
This is great. Now, you're probably wondering, man, what does this have to do with church planting? it does a lot.
You asked. Yeah.
No, it does a lot because, like you said earlier, Ed, we can't just ignore this, right? We can't just be bystanders. And I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, you might have been able to do that. But with all that's been going on this past year in particular, we just can't take that approach. So next time we get together, we're basically going to continue this conversation, but really talk about it more from the perspective of church planting and how can we not be co-opted when we plant a new church during this time. Hey, but before we do that, Ed, I know everyone is, or not everyone, there's a lot of people listening in and they're like, what in the world is QAnon? How do you spell it? QAnon. And we will put a link to it in the show notes. But Ed, for everyone driving, you just have to give them a 30-second, what in the world are you talking about?
Yeah, QAnon is a conspiracy theory. It's kind of tied to things like Pizzagate and Seth Rich. It's the idea that generally the left or people in power or the ultra rich are behind this secret cabal that's trafficking children. They were actually hiding them in the basement of a pizza shop in D.C., John Podesta, Hillary Clinton, and others. And actually, a man actually showed up with a gun to liberate the children in the basement of that pizza place. And of course, when he got there was no basement in the pizza place. Nobody was hurt then, but somebody's going to get killed. And so it's the idea that there's some figure probably working in the Trump administration who's secretly preparing for this great awakening when these mass arrests will take place, where the things will be made right, justice will be made known, and the big online conspiracy as well. Lots of articles about it, including one that I've written from USA Today that you can see in the show notes.
Yeah. I wonder how many of those people were watching Designated Survivor. Anyway,
yeah, that's a good question.
All right. So especially when you said pizza shop, we stopped after a couple seasons, but there was particularly an episode about a pizza shop and all of that. So.
Nice.
Anyway, hey, so let's pause for today and we will continue on in 2 episodes. Thanks again for listening in.